What's going on, guys? I'm Alex. Welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. With me, as always, is my boy, Steven Ellis.
Hey, what's going on, Alex? Who's up next?
And he's standing in the back, got a towel and flip-flops at the local pool. It's my boy, Cisco Kid.
Cannonball!
That's right. The only thing Cisco would yell while just charging at a pool. How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm good, man. How you living, Cisco?
Doing well, man. Doing very well. It's been cooling off, as you guys well know.
I know. It's great, right?
The mornings are great.
I know. Oh, but we're still due for like one more heat wave, though. We're going to get like a few
more. I just got a new pair of board shorts, trunks. Ooh. And I want to wear them at least once before this summer is over. They're In-N-Out ones.
Ooh. Ooh.
They're like official ones from In-N-Out. I went down to the store, the company store, and I was checking out some stuff, and I was like, oh, I like these.
That's pretty fresh. Are they like white with little like the palm trees around the rim?
No, they're multicolored. They're like they have the palm tree print, but then they have like a sunset behind them. It's really cool.
That's awesome. Looking. I totally would have just assumed that they were like white with like red laces, like a red lace up, and then like the palm tree. That's super cool.
Yeah, they have those, the like the cup, you know, like what the cup looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
They have the that in the socks. They sell the socks like that. And they have maybe they do have a pair of trunks that looks like that, but I didn't see those. I just saw the sunset-y looking ones. And then they have like every shirt they've ever made that you can get in the company store, and they're all really cool.
I used to think In-N-Out shirts were like the raddest of rad.
I love them, dude. I have a couple and I think they're great. They're like super kitschy and they look really good the more you wash them. Like they get kind of faded and they look a little worn and vintagey. I think that looks really cool.
Yeah, I remember when they opened the first In-N-Out near me in Northern California, because I didn't have them around really until like maybe like I was in like middle school, like mid to late 90s. They started to pop up in Northern California to the extent that you would see them in Southern California. And like my dad was obsessed with those fucking In-N-Out shirts. Like he had to go. He's like, they got a new shirt. Like he was like collecting them.
Yeah.
And then my mom, one year for Christmas, got him the fucking In-N-Out Letterman jacket.
Oh, yeah.
And he thought that shit was the coolest fucking thing.
They have really, really, and they've been stepping their game up with the merch and stuff like that. They got sneakers. They look like Vans slip-ons. But the thing that I saw in the store I hadn't seen online that I was like, damn, that thing's beautiful, is like a leather, I think it's leather. It looks like it. I didn't get to hold it, but a leather duffel bag. Like it looks like a sort of like a carry-on.
Fire.
All white. All white with the red print, you know, like the red.
Fire.
Oh, it's so nice. I was like, I think it's like $300 or $250 or something.
Come
like,
at In-N-Out anymore on its food, and you're just gonna get fucking neck stepped. Like we're gonna literally step on your neck. In-N-Out, by all means, complain about it while you wait in the 50-minute drive-through.
I don't know if you guys saw. The whole reason why I even went into the store was because early in the summer, like right at the beginning of summer, they had a pool floaty for sale.
Oh,
and it looks like a basket of fries. So the basket is what you sit in, and it sold out like instantly. I couldn't get it online or anywhere.
Yeah.
So I went in just to see if they had them there, and they were like, no, but we're expecting to get a restock. So sign up on the site and you'll get an email when we do. And I'm like, I'm patiently waiting for it. I'm like, I just want it. It's so cool.
That's so rad. That's such a
floaty, dude. It's amazing looking.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't, we're not going to relitigate that, but I'm just saying I'm feeling spicy and I would like fight for In-N-Out today. Like, Oh, Steve just put up the fry boat floaty.
And then you can see the shoes there too. Those,
bro,
I got those.
That's
Stacey
fire.
Stacey got me those white ones 2 years ago, I think, for my birthday. And then they came out with a black one. It's the exact same thing, but just all black. And so I got us the matching pair this year.
So,
Alex, you didn't tell me you were doing marketing for In-N-Out Burger.
Honestly, I might as well
this is an In-N-Out Stan podcast.
episode. This is like, but truly though, like this is exactly what I would do if they, Alex, what would you do for In-N-Out? I'd do stuff like this. Like my dad had that Letterman jacket. I might have to get him this for his little pool in Arizona. You just float around in a fry pod.
Fuck yeah, dude.
What about you, Steve? Recommend. How you living?
I'm living good. I'm living good. You know, I, we talked about it offline last time. I've been, got a personal trainer, been working out.
Yeah, you do. Week.
Feeling good, getting my ass kicked.
Swole as fuck, dude.
You know, just
you guys trying to work out, are blasted.
Just trying to work out all that brown blood so I get nice red blood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, feel me? Yeah, yeah. I got you, bro.
You know, it's been 2 years of brown blood during this whole thing.
And, yeah, yeah. You need,
you know what I mean?
A little more water, a little less salt.
You know, just need that red blood. So,
you know, gravy.
I'm living. Gravy. How about you, Alex?
Man, I'm good, dude. I'm busy. I feel like this is our first episode in a good minute where we haven't had a movie that we've had to prep for. We had to make a little list. But yeah, just the three of us. Nothing crazy. I'm good, man. I feel like I am. It feels like it's one day between recording these things. Just the weeks are blasting by. But I'm stoked. I really like our list. This was a good idea, Steve. What were you thinking for this week's episode?
Well, you know, last week after we recorded our last Midnight Movie Club with Dan from 4 Year Strong doing Batman, we just sort of, the three of us sat on for about 45 minutes just chatting, and we hadn't just caught up in a good while, and I just went, you know, I want to do a catch-up episode, and, you know, let's figure out, like, we know what, like, what movies we've all been watching, so for the most part, you know, because we've been doing this show, but, like, you know, I want to know, what are you guys watching? What are you guys listening to? What do you guys, we're all really busy, but, like, there's certain little things that we're individually into, and I don't know, figured it'd be a good catch-up episode.
Nice. Well, I'm stoked, man. Do we have a needle drop to take us in, or should I just start this bad boy up?
Yeah, we got a needle drop.
Hit me with it. So this week we are doing a list of some of our tops of the summer. So we've got a bunch of random categories that Steve threw together for us, and we're going to go around the horn and we're going to talk about our favorite thing of the summer that sort of falls into this category. Now, this also isn't super rigid. We're not like making a top list. We're not going to be bantering back and forth about what is number one, what's number two. This is just about talking about what we've been into. So I have a couple for some other categories. I don't know about you, Cisco. I don't know about you, Steve, but I threw a couple into the mix just to kind of get what people are what I'm into, and then maybe someone can find something new to check out. And I have a feeling we're going to line up on some stuff, while also we're going to get some good variety today. So let's start with our first category, which is movies. Now, I'll start with Steve. Steve, what was your favorite movie of the summer?
It's been guys, I'll be honest with you. I haven't really gone to the theaters too much. I did get to see Quiet Place Part 2. I thought that was a lot of fun. Good little popcorn, good summer movie. But overall, I don't want to say it was a disappointing summer, but I just, nothing stood out in my mind in terms of what I saw.
I would agree. There's one that is high on the list for me, but
you know,
I was going to say the same thing, which is the summer felt a little lukewarm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I'll throw this out there. I ended the summer with that movie this weekend that was on Hulu with John Cena. And
I don't know.
And what's his name from Get Out? Lil Rel?
Lil Rel.
And it's a movie called Vacation Friends, and it's weird and terrible, but I don't know. I couldn't stop watching it.
Right on. Well, you like those. You like those. You used to call them HBO movies.
Yeah, this is definitely something that, like, and apparently it made so much money this weekend on Hulu and being like Hulu's most ever watched original movie, even past Palm Springs. They've already greenlit a sequel to this wackadoodle thing.
Wow. Now, Cisco, I feel like you and I, there's a chance we have the same number one of the summer, but I'll have you start because I think you might be a little more passionate about the movie than I am. But what was your number one movie of the summer?
Black Widow, dude.
Oh shit, we're different.
Nope. I'm just kidding.
Oh. All right. Number one movie this summer. Not that Black Widow isn't fun, but it ain't the number one movie this summer.
Black Widow was fun. I really, 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 really enjoyed Green Knight.
And we are aligned on our number one of the summer. Cisco, why don't you talk a little bit about why you loved The Green Knight?
Well, I mean, I went to go see the Green Knight by myself. It was the first time that I've been to a theater by myself, I think, in probably over 10 years. I mean, I don't think I've seen a movie by myself since Stacey and I've been together in a theater. So, oh, no, that's not true. I think I have. I think we did. This is like means nothing, but when we were living long distance, we went to go see a movie in a theater, like at Solo at the same time, and then we came out and talked about it afterwards. But yeah, dude, I went to go see it during the day, during the week, empty theater. Didn't really know what to expect. I had very little expectations. I thought it really looked really cool, and I was very intrigued by it, and I left the movie just my mind couldn't stop thinking about it. It was just like, I went home, immediately started just like talking about it with my wife, then started doing a little mini deep dive into the original poem and the lore of it and trying to figure some things out, and that really helped me sort of wrap my brain around what the movie was. But I'll just say that it's not for everybody. You know, I'm not gonna recommend it and say like, oh, you must go see the Green Knight or whatever. I would say if you have any kind of interest in it whatsoever, see it. It's beautifully shot, very well acted, well written, well directed.
Great production design.
Beautiful, beautiful production design. And it's just a really cool movie. The way I kind of broke it down when I was recommending or when I was talking about it with people was that it's really just a hero's journey. You know, that's like the surface of it, but it's pretty deep and very interesting. So yeah, man, I dug it a lot.
Yeah, I saw it up in Portland with Cody. I went up to visit the art wizard behind all of BSR's pins and logos and any visual stuff that you're digging, that is Cody behind that magic. And he's a huge D&D nerd, like Lord of the Rings loving. This kid, if it's got like, it's Cody would laugh, but if it's got like troll gnomes and guys like doing jigs while playing the fiddle in green tights, like he loves it. That's way up his alley. So when I went to visit, I was like, well, right up my alley is A24 movies because I'm an absolute A24 fiend. And then they've got this Arthurian legend coming out. Let's check out The Green Knight. And he went bananas for it. He loved it. He was like, this is one of the greatest fantasy movies I've ever seen. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was at times maybe like 10% over-directed. I was like, I'm just really seeing a lot of the moves, but that's like so nitpicky because it's such a good movie. Like, I just think that anything that honestly for me right now, A24 can kind of do no wrong. I feel like every movie I see come out of that studio, I like for some specific reason. And I was really excited to see them take on something bigger budget. And the fact that this movie isn't nearly as expensive as you'd think it is.
No,
it is beautiful. The VFX are stunning. And like you said, Cisco, the acting is stellar.
I would say that the VFX are very
minimal.
Minimal, yeah.
Minimal, but like when they come up, it's impactful because it's like, for example, you know, this isn't spoiling anything. The Fox looks amazing for a movie like this budget. The Fox was probably the most compelling part for me. I was so into this little companion. And I will say I don't know about you, Cisco, but the first time I watched it, I didn't have trouble figuring out what was going on, but I think I didn't quite dissect the message right away. I was like, oh, like I get what that was about, but like, do I not? I don't really get what that was about. And luckily I had Cody there, who's like a big Arthurian nut. And he just like broke it down. He's like, he had already read the poem. He like broke the whole thing down for me. And I was like, oh, I see it. It's a really great movie. And I'm with you, Cisco. I think, you know, a lot of people are saying this is the best movie of the summer. And I think that it doesn't shine that the Green Knight is this like breakout massive masterpiece. What it signifies is a lot of the movies that came out this summer were very stale feeling. They felt stale, no pun intended, like they had been locked up for a year. And we kind of, I had moved past the idea of a lot of the movies that came out this summer. And the Green Knight specifically really stood out as more of this, please. Can we please have more original storytelling and new adventures and new characters and new things that look this amazing, that have a point of view? Because I think, like you, Cisco, I left feeling very refreshed after seeing that movie. It was like, that was probably the first movie I felt like I saw in the theaters, if that makes sense. Sure. Like,
have you guys seen any of director David Lowry's other movies?
I have not seen Ghost Story. I haven't seen that one, no.
Like, I look at his career on IMDb, and I was looking at him like a week or two ago when I was reading about the movie, and I was like, oh my god, that's the dude that did Pete's Dragon. And I was like, wait, he did like some super big like indie movie right before Pete's Dragon, which was that Ain't Them Body Saints one with Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck and Ben Foster. And it was just like, man, this guy, if you look at him on IMDb, it's like he has a resume of a classic sort of 70s filmmaker. I didn't see Pete's Dragon, but everybody I know that actually watched it are like, it's a great movie.
Hmm.
And I remember the trailer looking really beautiful and not at all what I was expecting, but I don't know. I think I'm excited to check this one out. This is on Amber and I's list. We'll probably have to watch it on VOD on Apple or whatever, but I'm interested to like put some stock in this dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great movie. And honestly, a big thing for me was Cisco's glowing review before even seeing it. Like, when Cisco gets really excited about something, I tend to trust his taste. So I was really excited to see it. I think if you're listening and you haven't caught The Green Knight, A, we got to support movie theaters when it's safe. When you feel safe to go back to the theater, get back to the theater, start enjoying some movies. So, yeah, man. Go ahead, Cisco.
Real quick, shout out the crazy, uncomfortable, disconcerting trailers that preceded The Green Knight. All of the movies that were previewed before made me feel so uncomfortable. And like, it put me in a really perfect place for this movie because it was like,
what were they showing trailers for?
Like Lamb. Neon movies, A24 movies that look nuts,
fucking
right?
Gravitas so, pictures and shit.
So fucking Lamb, first of all, it's to the top of my list. I want to see it so bad. I don't know what that movie's about. It looks fucking crazy.
Yes,
it made me like, I had like goosebumps all over because watching that trailer. There's another one called, I think, like 9 Days that looks really good.
Did you get the one about the guy that like fucks his car?
No. Oh, wait, did I see that? I don't think I saw that one.
Have you seen this trailer, Steve?
I'm just dying because I'm like, Cisco was like, oh, did I see that one? It's like,
so it's like,
you remember a guy fucking his car?
It's like this French movie, dude, with this guy who like makes a car that he fucks or something. And Cody was like, I remember I saw it in Portland. So I had the additional layer on top of
what's weird is that sounds really familiar, but it's not sticking out in my mind.
Maybe
so the ones that I really remember are Blue Bayou.
Okay.
Blue Bayou looks fucking awesome.
Yes, it does.
That's a movie about Korean immigrant going through like this deportation thing in the South.
It looks great.
Lamb, obviously.
Yes.
And 9 Days. 9 Days is this movie about a bunch of people in like, it seems like purgatory or something. And it's got like Zazie Beetz is in it. Benedict Wong is in it, and I think the guy who plays in Black Panther, he plays the sort of like frenemy to T'Challa, the guy who runs like the guerrilla nation.
Winston Duke.
Winston Duke. Yes. Yeah. 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 So it's got a cool cast and the trailer is really cool. Yeah. It's very like emo.
Tony Hale's in it.
Yeah, those are the three that really stuck out for me that I was like, oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing these ones. Candyman obviously was another one that got previewed. Candyman looks cool.
I've seen Candyman twice from Wynn Rosenfeld, guest of the podcast. It's great. It's awesome. Go check it out. Go support it. It's very, very fun. I'm trying to find this movie about a guy who fucks his car. So if I'm not talking, it's because I'm trying to find out about this movie. Because
I do have an honorable mention for my favorite movie for the summer. Yes. And Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad was fucking awesome. I loved it. My wife and I went to go see it together. Same deal. We went to go see it in the afternoon. We fucking thoroughly enjoyed it. We laughed. We, you know,
Are you going to watch the Peacemaker show?
Probably. Yeah. Why not?
I got to tell you, John C. Stock, it baffles my mind. But after that movie I watched this weekend and seeing Suicide Squad, I was like, oh, okay. All right. Your stock is rising in my world right now, but it's also very odd to me. Because I went down a John Cena rabbit hole learning all about him this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I dug Suicide Squad a lot.
Hold on. All right, Steve. You got YouTube nearby?
Yeah. We're on the internet, Alex.
Okay. So I need you to look up the Titan trailer.
Spell the Titan.
Titane trailer. I don't know if it'll play through the speakers, but you guys gotta fucking see this thing, and they gotta hear this thing.
Oh my!
Because this is what I was
not familiar. So,
bro, this is what I got before the Green Knight. And now, mind you, I'm at a fucking a craft brewery slash movie here.
That's
like
that's awesome.
Very Portland.
Very Portland. Yep.
And it was like all they were screening Green Knight, and like three theaters were showing Pig with Nick Cage. Like Pig was the ticket of the town, which I really need to see. Yes. I want to see Pig so bad. Is it on iTunes yet?
Oh yeah, it's been on for a while.
Shit, I'm gonna watch Pig tonight.
Yeah, Green Knight is too. Bunch of them. All right, you guys ready?
Sure. Yes. All right. So this is called Titan, and I think it's about a guy who fucks his car.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Seeing the whole movie.
I told you. You thought I was crazy.
A lot of hugging.
Just wait. That's the guy right there.
Oh, I picked up on that.
Whoa, hello. Red Band trailer.
I mean, it's visually.
Yeah, stunning.
Pretty. Yeah.
But. This is what I saw before the Green Knight.
Okay. That's some good foreplay, huh?
Right?
It's very provocative.
Yeah, because I...
Nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative.
And I looked up con movie, guy has sex with car, and that's what came up, and that was definitely the trailer. So I didn't misread the vibe.
Can't wait to see your algorithm over the next few days.
Just guys just railing fucking Civics like, yeah, man. Just like just railing Accords. Like
the Dogma Fast and Furious. If Dogma made a Fast and Furious movie, that's what it would be.
Fuck yeah. All right. Well, it's a big why don't we take it from the big screen to the smaller screen? And Steve, why don't you tell us what TV shows were your top of the summer? What were you digging on?
In no specific order. Dude, I think my wife and I are the only ones, and I think Alex may have watched one episode. I get it if you can't get past the first episode, but one of the standouts for me was Physical, starring Rose Byrne on Apple Plus or whatever. That was when I watched weekly, and I don't think I could binge that in multiple episodes because it's a bit jittery, and they intentionally do their camera work that way. But I thoroughly enjoyed that. I, like most, a lot of people I know, although at the time I was like three episodes in and had no one to talk to about it, was White Lotus. That was another one that great. Was like
finished
a week to week.
Weekend. Finished it this weekend. Loved it.
You know, it's not without, I mean, I'm sure it's getting its backlash now, but I don't know.
Oh, there's a whole lot of backlash.
Yeah. Yeah. I really did enjoy it though.
Oh, really? What was the back? Did you watch it, Cisco?
I didn't watch it, but I saw that. I heard the discourse around it. That's for damn sure.
I didn't even know. I'm so off of Twitter. I had no idea. What was the, can we say what the discourse was without ruining it?
You can talk about it. I don't care.
All right. What's the discourse?
I was going to let you take this one, Cisco, if you wanted.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Steve, you watched it.
Oh, in terms, I know that there was a lot of stuff about how it's just another rich white people show, and it's all rich white people doing fantastical things, and also sort of the I don't know how much of it was or not, but I know that, you know, the whole thing that like the staff and the people that were locals that work at the White Lotus. How, like, all of a sudden all of their characters just kind of fall by the wayside, kind of a thing. And like I've heard and when I first heard that, I was like, well, fuck yeah, like what happened to the you know, the one that sort of is part of kicking off the first two episodes, right? The woman.
Yeah.
And then I read a lengthy interview with Mike White, who wrote and directed every episode, and he was talking about how, like, because part of it was how talking about when you go to these places and you're able to afford to go to these places, and you're there and you're a vacationer and you're a tourist and all this stuff, but you're not thinking about like what went into acquiring this land or how it was, and that the people that are working here, how it was stolen from them, and, you know, just really valid points about all of that. And how he seems to claim like it was by design, that, you know, to these people it's all just interchangeable, and by the end of it it's a whole new, you know, set of players in those roles now. So
that's what I picked up on in my watch of it, is that we are living in this perspective of these privileged people, and in their world those things are disgustingly interchangeable, and it's not supposed to be a good thing that we don't find out what happens to these more compelling, interesting stories. What we learn about is like this family reconnecting who were shitty to each other, and now it's like, oh great, Hawaii made us happy again or whatever. So but I don't want to comment too much on the Discord because I didn't read it, so it's not fair for me to have any kind of opinion. I just know that when I watched it, I didn't pick up on that was a good thing. It felt intentional, is what I'm saying. So I think Mike White might even say that specifically in like the recap of the last episode. He says like, this is all by design, that the staff is somewhat like,
I think what ended up happening was, I think people are just tired of seeing movies set in Hawaii that are just about white people. The Descendants. Totally. What was the other one that with
Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
No, not that one. There was another one that came after,
like seven Adam Sandler movies.
No, yeah, that's a real problem.
It wasn't that. It was it's one with
Oh, it's the one. Yeah, it's the one with Emma Stone.
Aloha?
Emma Stone. Yeah. So I think that people are just like, look, if you're gonna make movies in a place like this, like, you know, have some local people in it.
Agreed.
We've seen enough stories about
the white people that go to the resorts.
I don't know. I didn't watch it, so I can't comment on that.
No. That's a perfectly 1000% valid criticism of the miniseries. I think for me, all I was responding to is that, like, I don't think that it's showing the white people as good or in a good light. It's commenting on the fact that it almost in a way is aware of that exact criticism. Probably maybe not the most efficient or best way to do that, but I think what you're saying, Cisco, does ring true to me is like, okay, obviously when I look at it through my prism, I don't see that. And I need to be illuminated as to why I should see that, if that makes sense. So, all right, Cisco, what about you?
One more to throw out there. Taika Waititi's Reservation Dogs is probably the top of my list for this summer.
I have to start it, but I'm waiting to binge. So say nothing, please. Say nothing. That will be a binged masterpiece. I can't wait.
I'm just going to say it's been a good summer for me for TV, getting back into the world of week to week as opposed to binging. It's been kind of nice having certain things to look forward to.
Tight. What about you, Cisco? What are you catching up on?
I have watched zero new shows. Okay. I watch a lot of baseball. And in this household, it's either Dodgers or we're watching Bluey or Steven Universe. That's it. That's all that's getting watched in my house. Straight up. I have been doing a rewatch of a show that we'll discuss coming up in a little bit, but that's on my, like, that's my free time. That's what I've been enjoying instead of like playing video games or doing whatever. But I have not watched anything. Reservation Dogs is at the extreme top of what I want to watch. I watched a little bit of Sweet Tooth, which I really enjoyed, and I got to get back into that just so I can finish it. I really, really enjoyed the first couple episodes of that, and I'm looking forward to wrapping that up. But Reservation Dogs looks really, really good, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. So, yeah, I'm stoked.
It looks amazing. Yeah. I like Taika's kind of owning TV. Like, he's got some great shows on TV right now between What We Do in the Shadows, Reservation Dogs, and then New Zealand Paranormal, which I believe he's an executive producer on as well. He's got some great stuff on TV right now. I'm surprised you didn't go Loki, Cisco. I thought Loki would be a...
I didn't like Loki.
You didn't like Loki?
Really? Let's have this conversation.
Really? Okay, I need to hear this.
I was really underwhelmed by Loki.
Interesting. That's why you hadn't really been talking about it.
Yeah, I don't really have much to say about it. It just felt like...
I'm in the same boat.
I don't think that the season mattered. I don't think anything that happened in the season mattered except for what happened at the very end, which felt like it could have been a 10-minute post-credit
and
sequence.
And credit sequence in a Eternals
movie.
Yeah,
I think that I really liked Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston's chemistry together when they were doing stuff together. So like at the very beginning of the show, there's a lot of stuff chemistry wise that they're doing that I found interesting, but everything felt extremely forced, you know, like in the very first episode, they spend the entire episode explaining what the TVA is. And it's like, and it's so this, it's like, so the TVA does this. Yes, no, the TVA does this and this and this. And so the TVA does this. Yeah, no, the TVA does this and this and this. That, like, the whole episode is that. And I'm usually not this critical, but I'm
you're not. That's why this is kind of like, I'm kind of digging this.
I'm really not. I'm not a critic by any means. And I'm not, I don't break down structure or anything like that. I just remember sitting there being like, this feels pointless. Like, this doesn't feel like it needs to be this long. And so, yeah, I was pretty underwhelmed by the entire show. I hope that the next season is more interesting. I'll watch it. You know, I watch all of it.
Do you think that they're overcompensating because they want to make sure that the entire public understands what a multiverse is? And do you feel like they're just kind of really kind of driving it home more than they need to?
Maybe, but I don't think that's necessary. I think that we've seen that you don't need to do that with Spider-Verse. The success of Spider-Verse shows that you don't need to do that.
But you know? Yeah, we can understand. We get it.
But I feel like in terms of like in my personal experience with, like, for instance, my wife, she's seen a couple of the episodes. Otherwise, she's on her phone while I've got it on, right? But she now, because of the little bit that she's done with WandaVision and with this, you know, with Loki and whatnot, now it's like now she can understand, like for instance, when we got that new Spider-Man trailer and sort of those, that it's like all of a sudden it's like she understands it now.
No, I get all that. And I think that's valid, but I don't have an answer for that, but I think that I hate saying this because, like, look, whatever, the people are going to do it. The creatives are going to do whatever they're going to do. And I'm not in a position to criticize them. I just feel like it could have been tighter. You know what I mean? And here's the thing, right? The season is 6 episodes long, and it felt like it could have been 4.
And that's also the one
good for me.
It's also the one of the ones that we've had so far where I feel like all the episodes were consistently like 56 minutes.
Yeah, right? And like didn't have to be like. And I'm usually on the opposite end. Is where I want more. Like make. It I agree. 10 episodes. Like
my major criticism of The Mandalorian is that the episodes are too short.
Yeah,
like it doesn't feel like TV. It feels like kids' TV, and I don't like.
Or the
that.
Same thing with Wanda too. Wanda, I was like, make them longer. You know.
Yeah.
And here's my other big criticism, and another thing that just I didn't resonate for me, and. I do have to say, my wife didn't feel the same way about this at all. When we talked about it, I tried not to talk about my opinions in the show until after she finished watching it, and then we discussed it. But she doesn't agree with me at all, and a bunch of my friends that have watched it don't agree with me at all. So maybe I'm the crazy person. But
my favorite of the three that have come out, but I honestly like your criticism. I wouldn't even say that I don't agree with it, even though it's my favorite of the three. If that makes sense.
Loki's your favorite last of the three.
Yeah, for sure.
My last big issue is probably just a personal thing, but other than Loki and Mobius, none of the characters are interesting to me. Like I didn't connect with any of them. I didn't find any of them. I don't think any of them had any interesting arcs or anything. Everything felt very like obvious. Lady Loki was, I think that idea of her is very interesting and cool, but I don't think that she.
This Lady Loki was interesting and cool.
And it's not even her. I just don't think that what we've seen from her so far has caught my interest or really made me care about
her. All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought we'd be talking about Loki today from you, Cisco. So this was a fun turn. We've branched a reality where Cisco didn't have something amazing to say about a new Marvel IP. We've actually Loki'd on the show. Maybe there's another Cisco in the multiverse somewhere. Yeah. There's a variant of Cisco somewhere that's like, no, it was actually great. I dug it. I don't give a shit. It's awesome.
Yep.
But you know what? Unfortunately, that variant had the Dodgers and the Lakers didn't win championships in the same year. So you got that, but you lost Loki.
Yeah, that variant is miserable. Trade.
That's a very miserable. I'll go through my TV shows quick. Like, I don't need to say it anymore. If you're not watching Dave, if you are sleeping on Dave, you are sleeping on some of the best TV on this fucking beautiful green earth. It is so good. Steve, have you finished season 2?
I have not.
Okay.
That's when I don't say
where
myself.
You are. Yeah, dude. Not only is season 2 great, and it's weird to say that like a sitcom is in the Empire Strikes Back of a sitcom, but it is, right, Steve?
It is.
Like,
yeah.
It gets darker. It gets much more introspective. It is not funny for the first little bits. Like, you know, I think I heard a great interview with Dave Lil Dicky, the guy that is the showrunner and creator of the show. He had a really great kind of interview he did when he's like, he was talking about the first season and he said, when we wrote the first season, I was terrified to make myself be unlikable because the show is about me. And I was worried that if I made myself unlikable, people wouldn't like Little Dicky anymore if the show failed because they're going to think that that's how I am in real life. So he tried really hard to make himself kind of lovable and fun and kooky and silly and not super annoying and not vain and like narcissistic. It's just it's very good and very funny. Season 1 is incredible. Season 2, he said, fuck it to all that. And he shows all of the nooks and crannies of what it means to be famous, how you get to a place where you're even in a position.
It's so interesting to me that, because I had this conversation with Amber the other day, because I was like, oh, there's this new show or whatever, and it has something to do about the industry. And she's like, I don't need to watch another show about the industry. And it's so funny because I said, you sound like Alex.
Yeah.
And I said, and I caught myself and I said to her, I was like, but you know, he really loves Dave, and that is about the industry.
Well, Dave's about the music industry. In Dave's defense, it is about the music industry, not acting. I don't like, very specifically, I'm not the biggest fan of movies about how making movies is so great.
That is what I don't like. I'm not, and I don't like that. Like the artist comes out. It's like, of course the artist is going to fucking win best picture. It's a bunch of people who love the powers of movies voting on the movie about the power of the movies. Like it's the same thing with Argo. Argo's literally, remember that time Hollywood pretended to make a movie and fucking saved a bunch of hostages? Let's give it Academy Awards. That is Hollywood loves to give Hollywood awards.
Fuck with Argo.
Argo's a great movie, but stop it with that best picture. I guarantee you, let's launch that year. It's probably laughable that Argo won best picture. And I like Argo. Argo's a really great movie, but Steve knows this about me. I love BTS. I love documentaries. When it comes to dramatic movies about the industry, it's tough for me if we start celebrating, like a great example, La La Land. La La Land was actually, I feel like everybody else kind of going,
all right, you ready?
What do we got?
All right, best picture that year. We got Zero Dark 30. We got Silver Linings Playbook.
Better.
We got Lincoln. We got Life of Pi. We got Les Miserables.
No, not better.
We got Django Unchained.
Come on. Can we stop now? Like, is my point Southern Wild
and Amour.
Okay. There's like five movies on that list that are better than Argo by a fucking mile. And they're not about how Hollywood saved
And The Master's not even on that list.
The Master was snubbed.
Yeah.
Too many N-words for Django to ever win a...
This is true. But still, is Django Unchained a better movie than Argo, Cisco?
I enjoy it more, yeah, for sure. I have a friend who... he's a black dude, comedian. And we talk about Django all the time. And he's like... Django Unchained was the first black superhero movie. And I was like, you're not wrong about that. He's like, dude, we fucking love that shit because of that, because it is a superhero movie, you know, starring a black dude. I was like, yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Django Unchained is in my top two or three movie theater going experiences. I saw Django Unchained with my lovely wife in her hometown of A-Leaf in Houston. Now, A-Leaf is a predominantly black neighborhood in the sort of not like the suburbs of Houston, but just you know, like East Houston, or I think it's West, technically West Houston. And I saw it first night at a theater in A-Leaf, and it was exactly that. It was like the place went fucking nuts when Django started mowing down slave owners, fucking nuts. And I was like, this is the power of a great fucking movie.
Dude, when he whips the shit out of that guy, I lose it every time. I mean, the whole movie is fantastic and they're all wonderful. But man, when he just gets that whip and he's just like, it starts off in slow motion. He's just like, whack. And then it goes back to full speed. He's just like, whack, 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 whack. And I'm like, well, dude, I love this shit.
They talk randomly this week. I was working out on the treadmill. Alex and I have we share the YouTube log account. So it's like, it's all like Katie's Classroom and fucking kids shit. And then like Alex looking up like, you know, directors of photography and producing and fixing your bikes and guitar and like
it's like super
cinematic and blah, blah, blah. And I'm on a treadmill and there's this video about a producer yapping for 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, I'll watch that. And then it just automatically started playing this like Quentin Tarantino thing that someone just like cut a ton of clips, a ton of interview clips, a ton of whatever about every movie. And it's just like this crazy long whatever. And it, great job. Thank you, Alex. It got me in the trouble. But it gets to the Django part. And he talks about how back when, you know, Roots was this big thing and it was a 16-day epic thing and blah, blah, blah. And there's that scene with Chicken George and with LeVar Burton's character and the whipping thing. And how he's like, he's not going to whip him? He's not going to fucking... Like, he doesn't whip him, right? And he's like, fuck that. He's like, he's fucking whipping him in my fucking movie. And it's going to fucking, no. Are you kidding me? Yeah. We went through all of this. What? No.
Yeah, it's, just that list, dude. That list is, that list of best picture, and that kind of, honestly, that was one of the first moments where I started to really develop that opinion. I remember.
Yeah, I'm not a big Argo guy either, to be honest with you.
Argo's fun. It's great, fun movie. You want to talk about an HBO movie that you can pick up any point and be stoked?
As long as John Goodman's in the scene, it's good.
I don't know why I don't know why I even think this, because they're not even remotely the same movie. But like in my brain, for some reason, I always relate Argo and Munich together, and I like Munich so much more. I don't know why. It makes no sense. They're not the same movie. They have nothing to do with each other. But I fucking love Munich.
It's one word. It's hostages.
Yeah, Munich is great. I love Munich.
And then the last show I would throw out, we don't need to talk about this one because I'm just going to recommend it. This is an if you know, you know kind of show. And that is I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson on Netflix. All I'm going to say is if you want to laugh, if you got a very weird.
So not weird, hype on HBO Max.
Hype's great too, but it's a reality thing. If you want to watch.
Come on,
watch,
bro. F-Boy Island all day.
I'm on F-Boy Island right now, F-Boy but that's Island. Not even.
I got Bachelor in Paradise right now. We're ending the summer strong, baby.
Yeah, I didn't go into much reality. I didn't feel like it. But if you want F-Boy Island, man, that doesn't fuck
I
want
to watch Hype just to see Bobby Hundreds talk.
Bobby Hundreds is the best guest, and he comes back. He's there twice.
Yeah.
He's very fun. All right. Steve, I know you pulled some examples, but what kind of music are you jumping on? Right now,
one thing that and I remember I texted Cisco about it a couple weeks ago. The only thing that I got really excited about that I was like, oh shit, was Nas put out a new album, King's Disease 2. And there's this track that he did called Nobody with Lauryn Hill that just to hear Lauryn Hill fucking rap again was where it was at for me. And let me see if I can cue this up real quick. Check this out.
Some place to be nobody.
Nobody. Nobody.
All my time I spent focused on my freedom now. Why would I join them when I know that I can beat them now? They put their words on me and they can eat them now. That's probably why they keep on telling me I'm needed now. They tried to box me out while taking what they want from me. I spent too many years living too uncomfortably, making room for people who didn't like the labor.
Cosign, that album is awesome. And that song is great.
I had not listened to it, but that was fire what you just played.
Yeah.
I only didn't put it on my list because I had a feeling Steve was going to put it on his. So
tight.
Otherwise, I would have.
And then you guys know how I am for Beck. And I came into this whole segment earlier with a little bit of Beck doing. He does a Paisley Park remix that he put out when he went and recorded over at Paisley Park, Prince's studio. And it's got like a cool groovy Where It's At version, and then he does like a medley of Prince songs, and that's what I played at the top going into our segment tonight.
Radical. What about you, Cisco? What are you jamming on?
I've been just this last week or so been listening to this album by this artist. Her name is Cleo Soul, CLEOSOL, and it's called Mother. The whole album is really cool and vibey, and she's got a beautiful voice. The song that I sent Steve-O, I believe, is called Don't Let It Go to Your Head.
Yeah, here, check it out. Get some lyrics there for a sec. Like I turned on that sexy radio voice there with this music.
I was gonna say, like, no joke, dude. This is a straight up baby making music.
Oh man.
Yeah, she is, dude. She's awesome. I first was turned on to her through her collaborations with this group called Salt, which is pretty. They're very mysterious. It's spelled S-A-U-L-T. And they're, I believe, from London or the UK. And there's not a lot known about them, but some of the people that they collaborate with, like Michael Kiwanuka and her, are really great. And so she put out this album, and I've been listening to it because I love all the Salt albums, and I really like this one. So highly recommend checking it out if you like that song. And then... as we all know, I'm a big fan of the sort of like cruising Soldies vibe. And
bro, Omar Soldies.
Apollo, yeah, Soldies, man. They crush it. Well, Omar Apollo is a kid from SoCal, I think from like the LA area. And he's got a song that I've been digging a lot called Go Away. And Steve-O can play that for us.
You can take the throne. Body flows like gold. Beating hearts like ghosts. Without you, time moves slow.
What was that song called?
It's called Go Away by Omar Apollo.
Oh, it's the new single.
Yeah, so that one isn't that Soldies vibe. It's a little more electronic, but man.
I kind of dig it though. It's like a modern Soldies. It's sick.
He's got a dope voice and his whole vibe is really cool. So yeah, check out Omar Apollo too. He's dope. We're planning on this Friday going to KCRW is throwing an event at Descanso Gardens. You guys can probably try and sign up for it if you guys want. It's a free event.
At Descanso?
At Descanso Gardens. One of the DJs that DJs on Morning Becomes Eclectic for KCRW, his name's Anthony Valadez, will be spinning there and playing music. I don't know anything about it other than the fact that they've got two KCRW DJs DJing, and Stacey and I are both like, hell yeah, let's go check it out. It's outdoors. We'll bring the girls. If it's not too crowded, we'll stay. If it gets too crowded, we'll bounce. But yeah.
Tight. I wish I had as insightful music as both of you, but I am going to shout out the Soldies real quick.
Let's go.
Holy Hive. Cisco showed me Holy Hive this summer, and that has kind of been on heavy rotation in the whip while cruising around. What I really dig about Soldies is it's kind of like, it stands kind of as a weird bridge between Sarah and I's taste. So we can kind of both groove on Soldies, because like, it's got guitars, it's got instruments, it's got singing. So it kind of like floats in kind of a world that I would dig, but also it's got a little bit of soul. So Sarah can kind of relate to that Motown-y kind of groove. So Holy Hive. Are you playing it, Steve?
Tiger walked into his cage, made up his bed of straw, spoke out the bars to those come of age. Don't shout.
Bro, it's great. Another big one. I know Cisco already shouted this guy out on
really
our
quick though, that song. Ahead. That song in particular, like, I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but that reminds me so much of like a Garden State song, like Sneaker Pimps. You know what I mean? It has that
totally.
Same kind of...
Yeah, I could see that.
It's got a cool vibe. Now, Holy Hive to me is a little more alternative than some of the other Soldies. Like Bobby Arosa straight up Soldies. Like yeah, that yeah, sounds yeah. like you could say, I found this at a discount vinyl shop, this used vinyl, and this is from like 68. I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, yep. I'd totally buy it. But you've played him on the show, and I'm really digging him now. Yep. Just amazing stuff. And it wouldn't be us talking about music off the show if I didn't once again... I have to shout out the new Tyler, the Creator album, Call Me If You Get Lost. It is fire. A lot of people would probably say it's his best work. I could potentially agree, but here's a little Call Me If You Get Lost by Tyler, the Creator.
I got you on this one. Call me when you get lost. Oh, you look malnourished. Let's get some bread, fried an egg. Yo, you're drowning in syrup. You pick a spot, I pick a tail number, and we could be tourists. Let's go to Cannes and watch a couple indie movies that you never heard of. Listen to bands, groove and we dance.
I mean, that's fire. We got a good vibe this summer for the three of us. We're all vibing, right? The vibe feels real.
Ain't nothing else to do.
Ain't nothing else to do, so we just fucking
gotta feel good.
Cisco's like, the journey is complete. These guys just fucking vibe. No more of that punk rock. They just in the back just kind of fucking sway.
Hey, I can listen to some punk rock too. It's all good, man.
All right. So now we did a lot of rewatched movies when we did the Midnight Movie Club this summer, but you know, this is an interesting category. We'll start with Cisco. Cisco rewatches this summer. Do you rewatch anything that you were like, oh man, what a great rewatch?
I started two rewatches this summer and I've been enjoying them both immensely. So I started watching Curb Your Enthusiasm from the very beginning.
Oh.
Which I hadn't done, and which was great because there's a lot of stuff I don't remember. You know, like it's been so long. I just like there's things that I'm like, I don't remember this. I don't remember, and I'm just enjoying it very much. But the one that I'm really, really doing pretty much every day, I'm watching at least one episode a day, if not more, is The Sopranos in anticipation of the Many Saints of Newark movie coming up. But yeah, man, I've been enjoying it. I'm about to wrap up season four, I think, right now. And I think we talked about this offline last week. Season three took a dip for me. I was had some issues with season three. But season four is a bit of a return to form, in my opinion, and has been excellent. And seems to be ending strong. And I mean, I kind of know, you know, what's going to end up happening because I've seen the show and I watched that more recently than anything else. So I know where it's headed, but it's very interesting watching all of the sort of politics going on in it, and the acting is all great and stuff like that. And picking up on some things that I don't remember watching it as the episodes were coming out, you know, watching it from week to week.
Totally.
Back then, and never doing a rewatch. I had never done a Sopranos rewatch since the show ended. So yeah, that's my big rewatch project right now. And I'm thoroughly enjoying myself.
What about you, Steve? What's on the rewatch?
You know, we, like I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think I'm still the only person that has a subscription to Peacock. And, we randomly started watching The Office again. And, we kind of made it all the week. We kind of made it up to like the seventh season, and we've sort of started to be like, okay, like even though I like, once we get past Michael and everything, there's stuff I still find entertaining. But I randomly clicked on the way that Peacock has it all like laid out. You can watch the episodes, you can watch Best of Michael, you can watch those kinds of things. But they have this other section that's like the worst of Toby, and it's like 17 yeah. 2 to like 7 minute clips that just like play like a playlist.
That's great.
And it's almost like taking on this new, and they have ones for Dwight and everybody now, but it's almost like rewatching the show in a new way now, where it's like a long ass episode that may not make any sense and is from all the different kind of seasons.
That's funny,
but it's still just as entertaining. And at first I was like, I don't know, that's not like the best episodes of Toby, that's lame. And then it's like next thing you know, it's, you know, like all offices where you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're like, fuck, it's still playing.
Dude, yeah. That's a thing that we do in this house too, which is like, or basically I do. I kind of, if I have like control of the TV, I'll throw on Comedy Central and just let The Office reruns run which is almost every day. So I just let it go. And I'll flip back and forth between that and like the Dodger game or whatever. And I watch, cause they pretty much will run it in sequence. They'll run it from like the beginning to the very end and then start it over again, unless they're doing some kind of marathon on like a holiday weekend or something like that. And I agree with Steve. I think that, I mean, look, when Michael left, it wasn't ever as good, but there are some things that are pretty good. Like, I think Robert California is a fucking crazy
character. I grew to love him over time.
And like the more that I watch those episodes, the more bananas it gets to me that is a thing. And I do enjoy how crazy he is and some of the crazy shit he gets up to.
So I will be the post Michael Office will be the voice my Loki dissent. To Cisco. So I do not, when Michael leaves, I restart the show. I'm done. The moment Michael leaves, I think the show, I've seen every episode, so I can't. I have slugged it out all the way through it twice, and now I am strictly when Michael hugs Pam, we go back to the first episode and we start over. For me, it's just like the soul of that show is Michael Scott, and with that gone, it became not for me, but I know a lot of people that land in the camp of you two that actually really stand by some of those older seasons. Like my buddy, Brian Wong, he loves
the seasons after Michael Scott. I was like, I don't know how you watch this. It's like, for me, it's like eating meat with no seasoning. Like, can't do it, but still meat, still yeah, there, still sustenance.
I think because I've watched them so much that I've come to appreciate them in a way, but there are things that really irk me about them. Like, I really don't like the direction they took with Pam in those late seasons. Like, I think they really kind of like didn't stay true to like her character in a weird way.
Mm.
And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but
you mean very specifically her like wishy-washiness on Jim?
I think that's a big part of it, but I also I understand that, you know, like when he leaves, you know, the sort of abandonment stuff, but I also think that she becomes sort of like this I don't know how to describe it, but sort of like an ineffectual character that I don't really like that much. Mm-hmm. Like, she becomes sort of I don't know how to describe it, but yeah, in the later seasons I'm not a great big fan of her until they redeem her in the end. I think
that the first time I watched it, I was like, I don't like this whole sound guy thing. I don't like this whole dynamic they're introducing. But then it was listening to Greg Daniels and the actress who plays Pam talk about the arc. And when I heard it kind of laid out from a structure or a motivation perspective, it made perfect sense to me. I think just for me, I was like, what's great about Jim and Pam is that they really don't have any problems for the first like 8 seasons of this show. Well, they do in the sense that like Roy is in the picture, but like at the end you kind of go,
I want to listen to that because I'm very interested in what they have to say, but boy, does Jim look like the motherfucking shining knight in shining armor throughout the entire show.
I finally had a moment though with Jim where I went, oh, he kind of deserved that. And it's the snowing episode.
It's the snowball fight.
And I finally went, oh fuck, no, he deserved that.
Yeah.
I think yes, in that episode, I think you are correct. And it's funny to see him get a little bit of comeuppance from Dwight. But everything with Pam, he is just like a straight up saint. Like, dude, when all this stuff is happening when they're in Florida with the intern and she's like straight up basically like trying to jump on his bones, he is like ultimate noble, like halo around his head guy, which I think is like, it's kind of interesting. You know what I mean? Like,
you know who would disagree with you on this, right?
I do, and we're not going to go there.
He's wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But no, like, they don't even entertain the possibility of him. They don't even. It's not even interesting to have her be like coming on to him because he never gives in. He's never even like. There's never even a moment where you're like. There's a look between them where you're like, oh, maybe something is happening here. It never happens. So that's like, that just feels like a sort of like cheap bait in a way, like it doesn't ever go anywhere, which is fine. You know, I think Jim is great. I like Jim.
I love The Office, and
this just turned into a 10-minute Office pod. I'm just gonna cut this little bit out. We're gonna put out a little Office segment.
Anyway, Robert California is a fucking maniac, and the shit that he says and does in that
I still
that
fucking love
crazy.
What's Will Ferrell's boss's name?
Oh fuck yeah, he's crazy. He's D'Angelo
yeah. Vickers.
Yeah. Cisco, if you haven't listened to Brian Baumgartner's Office pod that he did, the oral history of the office. Spotify. It's a good one. It's on Spotify. Yeah. It's a good one.
And that's what the Greg Daniels Pam segment is in.
Oh,
they talk about it and they're like, yeah, people were really upset. And, you know, it's basically along the lines of like, yeah, but Pam did that to Roy, so it stands to perfect reason that she would do it to Jim. Like, that's actually it feels out of character, but then when you hear it broken down like that, I was like, all right, I don't have to like it, but I accept that answer, I guess.
Yeah,
no, I'm with you. We don't need to. You just stop after Michael leaves, and you don't have to worry about it. The show's fucking flawless from top to bottom.
But then you don't get to see Michael come back.
That's true. You could skip all the way to the end. Watch Michael come back the wedding for six minutes. I don't have, to be honest with you,
this was the summer of a lot of new watching for me. Besides the shows, what we did on the pod, which was like the rewatches for the Midnight Movie Club.
Oh, dude, everything else. You would send me these text messages where I was like, "Oh man," you'd be like, "Heat," or I don't know,
not fucking, a rewatch,
fucking Raging Bull or something.
Not a rewatch, right? All but, watching for the first time.
I know, but it was so great all summer. I would get these texts where you would be like, this or this.
Oh, wait. Yeah, so yeah. Did you watch Heat and Raging Bull?
I watched Heat for sure. I did not watch Raging Bull, but I've watched Heat. I could go through and click through.
We haven't discussed Heat. Shit.
I fucking loved Heat.
Yeah, you did.
It's fucking amazing.
He called me the next day and it was just like, okay.
Heat? Bro, Heat's good.
Now, I know you're going to watch, what did we say you're going to watch tonight?
Oh, shit, what am I watching tonight?
Oh, something you're going to watch, what's it called?
Pig. Oh, Pig. Yeah. I'm going to watch Pig.
After you watch Pig, go watch Den of Thieves. All right. Just, it flows from Heat to Den of Thieves, bro.
All right. I'm down. No resistance. You know, to wrap it up, like, obviously I know the answer to this next one is Black Series Rebels all day, all the time, but, around the horn, Cisco, any podcast that you're jamming on?
I legitimately do listen to every episode of Black Series Rebels. So just,
I know, you know, you do, buddy.
Yeah, sorry, I listen to every episode. But no, I do have two actually. My wife and I are not big, but we are at times into true crime podcasts. And there's one that I've been listening to recently that I really like called To Live and Die in LA. It's the new season. There's two seasons of it. The current season two, is pretty interesting. And then I've really, really liked Midnight Miracle. Thank you, Steve, for turning me on to that. I signed up for Luminary just so I could listen to it.
I remember when I hit you back and I was like, oh, I think it's only on Luminary. You got to pay. And you were like, got to pay?
I said, F it. I did it. I signed up for Luminary. So I listened to it, and it's great, dude. It is so good. It's hard to explain what that show is because it's very experimental, but give it a shot. If you listen to the first episode, the first real episode, so they're like, if you're looking at it in the list, there's a couple of like teasers, and then there's a true episode, which I think is called like A or whatever. If you listen to that and like it, I think you'll enjoy the rest of it. It's really cool.
All right. What about you, Steve-O? Any podcasts?
Well, I think you and I line up on one of them. There was the, first of all, not really a podcast, but I consider it one. It's 2 hours. It's only on Apple Music. So if you don't have Apple Music, I don't do, but I listened to it last summer. Season two is this summer. Mark Hoppus of Blink-182 hosts a show on Apple Music called the After School Radio Show. It's like 2 hours. It's him. He's got like a, usually has an interview with a guest or someone. This week, Alex, he's got your boy, Mayor of Flavortown, founder of Flavortown, Guy Fieri. But, you know, he's had like Dave Grohl. He's had like old school, like he had Bad Religion on. He's had, it's everybody. And, you know, they play music in between and stuff. It's kind of like a radio show, but I don't know. I've really enjoyed that. I've really gotten sucked into it. It's a weekly listen to me. And then the other one is you and I think we have the same one. I've been really enjoying the on the Ringer network. They did a podcast that's part of their Big Picture pod that I know we all like to discuss a lot about offline. But they did a special called Gene and Roger by Brian Rafferty, who wrote the book Cisco and I really like, Best Movie Year Ever, on the year 1999. He produced and hosts this pod, and you know, it really, you know, you might have noticed I must have been listening to it because I would pull up if Cisco listened to the whole episodes. There's been a couple episodes where I throw in the Cisco and Ebert review in the show, mm-hmm. in the middle of it, and it clearly was influenced by that because man, that was a staple for me every Sunday night, was watching At the Movies with Siskel and Ebert. And
I do love when Roger Ebert is wrong about his opinion about a movie.
Yeah.
Either of them, though. It's great when both of them are wrong.
That's the thing that it's like a running joke on the Rewatchables, right? They'd be like, when was
what's Ebert up with Raj? Wrong? What's up with Raj?
Yeah. So, yeah, Steve, I line up there with you. I dug Gene and Roger. I'm going to come out and I'm going to say that I have fallen off the wagon in the sense that I am back on the good. And let me tell you right now, let me tell you what I love.
the big
and I don't watch basketball, Cisco, so don't be mean to me if I say a bunch of ringer shit, because I know you have your opinions on Bill Simmons, but I don't know basketball and I don't know all that stuff, so don't get mad at me. I know you want to get mad at me.
Never.
I fucking love the big picture now. I love it. I can't help it. I fucking love it. I love the rewatchables. Now, I agree, Cisco, like Van Lathan, Shea Serrano, really fun. Although I got to tell you, sometimes your boy Shea's taste on like Transformers and stuff gives me anxiety. But
he's crazy.
He's crazy.
I would not say that his opinions are always correct.
You just like him.
I just like listening to him give his opinions.
Agreed. But I'm a big rewatchables guy now. But I'm going to stick with one that I mentioned while I think we were doing, we did like one little, it goes to show how dedicated we were to that segment, which was like suggestions at the end of the episode. And I suggested, how did this get played with Heather Ann Campbell, Nick Weiger, and Matt Apodaca. I stand by that. If you are in any way a video game fan, it's the funniest podcast on the internet, specifically for video games. So definitely worth checking out, but I can't help it now. I'm like, I'm listening to The Watch. I'm listening into like the Ringerverse, dude.
It's funny because The Watch has replaced rewatchables and Big Picture for me.
Big Picture for you?
Yeah.
Do you like The Watch, Cisco? Have you done that one?
Mm-mm. It's Chris Ryan.
I don't know who.
And it's a.
I don't like Chris Ryan, so I'm not going to listen to it.
Okay. That's hilarious.
Don't like that guy, so I'm not going to listen to it.
Nah, I just can't stand his voice, to be honest with you. Voice is very irritating. It's the same reason why I don't like Jason Concepcion. Yeah. I think that Jason Concepcion has some interesting things to say. Like when him and Shay talk about certain things, I don't necessarily disagree with them. I just can't stand his voice. It's like nails on a chalkboard. and in radio, that's a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got a voice for TV. Like, he should be doing video podcasting because his voice is so bad.
Yeah, I just think it's, for me, it took me a long time. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of stuff that gets a little too, like, don't get me wrong, I'm pretentious in my taste, but I don't like to partake in very pretentious film criticism.
You're just not, you're West Coast. You're not Upper East Side. It's fine.
Yeah, it's man. Fine. I just like, I'm a film buff. I'm a film nerd. I'm a movie lover like the three of you. Never catch me calling myself a cinephile. If I ever say that, dude, I want both of you to slap me across the back of my head that you are not a cinephile. You like movies. It's just, this not my style. But that being said, I think because movies have been coming back and I've been partaking in movies in the movie theater again, there's like been I've really enjoyed hearing a lot of excessive talk about the movies. It's giving me a little bit of pre-COVID, because we're not post-COVID yet, but pre-COVID vibes of like talking with you guys about seeing movies in the theaters and spending time with my buddies. So it's kind of like, it's serving a purpose. And I'm sure when quarantine, hopefully, and I knock on the wood of my desk and on the wood of my head, that maybe we will be able to talk in person again in the way about those movies. And I won't need to listen to some of the Ringer people do it for me. So yeah, I'm digging it, but podcasting is not really, I'm on a hiatus from, and Nick's radio. I do listen to that when I'm on my way to the gym, when he drops new stuff. Radio, the radio show's great, but we had a big summer, guys. A lot of cool shit.
Watched a lot of good movies.
Yeah. A lot of good movies.
Yeah.
I wish you know what? This is the power of Letterboxd. Let me read
that's,
you.
Yeah, that's what I go back to look and be like, what did I watch?
Yeah. So, because I keep my my diary pretty consistent this year. In August, this is what I saw. These are new movies that I watched. I saw My Wife and My Fiona, Dances with Films. Great movie. Check it out. I saw Old. I saw Free Guy. I saw Jungle Cruise. I saw Candyman. I watched Billie Eilish's The World's a Little Blurry, stellar music documentary. I watched Suicide Squad. I watched Marx Brothers, A Night at the Opera while I was in Portland. I had never seen it. Monster Squad, had never seen it. Watched it while I was in Portland.
Nice.
Chopping Mall. Has anyone here seen Chopping Mall?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it. Yeah,
fucking great. Watched it while I was in Portland. Stellar.
Like early 80s, right?
Yeah, it's about these robots that get like programmed to be mall security guards. They malfunction and they start murdering all the kids at the mall. Great. Mm-hmm. Very, very campy. Saw The Green Knight. Cisco, remember that? That rang, rang a bell. I watched the George Harrison documentary on HBO. I watched a documentary on Del Close called For Madman Only, Men Men Only. Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage. Speaking of Bill Simmons and The Ringer, that's their documentary on HBO. Great. This should have been on my TV list. McCartney 321.
Oh, yeah.
With Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
Yes.
Space Jam New Legacy. Not amazing. Not amazing. Not amazing. I watched Be Water, the Bruce Lee thing on 30 for 30 for the first time. I dug it. It was okay. Little surface. Little safe. Here's some weird ones. I saw Daylight Savings, Surrogate Valentine, that was a random one that I watched. What's the word I'm looking? Oh, I Will Make You Mine. It's this indie 3 movie trilogy that my friend Lin Chen directed and starred in. Very good stuff. Summer of Soul. Did you guys catch that one?
That was fantastic.
No, I didn't mean it to. I gotta watch that. That
was fantastic.
Super good. Black Widow, really dug it. I watched Bull Durham for the first time.
Nice. Yes.
Dug it. Dirty Dancing for the first time.
Wow.
Okay. Fine. Air Force One for the first time.
No shit.
Get off my plane.
I could totally see you as a kid seeing that in theaters with your dad.
Nah, man. Just missed it. The Fugitive for the first time.
Shut the fuck up.
Harrison Ford.
Had never seen it. Yep. I watched The Fugitive for the first time. Heat for the first time. The Werewolves Within, Sam Richardson. Super fun. Check it out on iTunes.
Yeah. Saw that.
The Witch. The Vitch for the first time.
Still haven't seen that.
I saw Robert De Niro in The Score with Edward Norton for the first time.
That's a fun movie.
I've got a story, BTS stuff about that.
The Lighthouse. Fucking loved The Lighthouse. In fact, if we had counted any new movie we saw this year, that would have been our favorite. My favorite movie that I've watched this year is The Lighthouse. Have you seen it, Cisco?
No, I want to, though.
Amazing. A24, same kind of thing. Like, yeah, just get like, ready to be blown away.
Real mind F.
Yes. Fast 9, Cars in Space. Sparks Brothers documentary. Sparks Brothers doc was okay. Point Break for the first time. Yeah. In the Heights. It was okay. Not my favorite. Rosemary's Baby for the first time.
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it's great.
What a fucked up movie.
Fucked up, like not scary. Obviously, it doesn't hold. The scary test doesn't hold up, but unsettling for sure. Definitely unsettling.
I think that fits with a lot of those movies from that time, like The Exorcist. The Exorcist is a little scarier, I guess, but super, super unsettling. Yeah,
absolutely. Mayor of Easttown, which is a miniseries, listed on Letterboxd. Quiet Place 2, Cruella, North Hollywood, and I watched Taika Waititi's Boy. And that were the movies that I watched this summer, according to my Letterboxd diary.
I
want to throw out there real quick, Val, the documentary.
I got to watch Val, too. Yeah.
Oh, I got to see that.
Amazon Prime. It's a good watch.
Since we got Top Gun got pushed, got to watch it.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
What are you going to do?
They want to make $1 billion. They don't want to make 70 mil.
Yeah.
Can't blame them. It's a bummer.
I was going to say this when we were talking about The Green Knight. You know, The Green Knight feels like a movie that should come out at Christmas time, right? Like it was supposed to come out at the end of last year.
Yeah. It's an Oscar movie for sure.
And yeah. And so it's a little weird to be watching it in the summer, but it's a movie that I think is going to be on my Christmas list because it's a Christmas movie.
It is. It is very much a Christmas movie. It's very much starts that adventure on Christmas, dog. And that's a Christmas movie.
Semen in it. So,
what's this?
Top Gun.
See you next summer, Top Gun Maverick.
Hey guys, we were supposed to do Top Gun this summer, and nobody picked it because it's a summer movie. We were supposed to do that.
Picking it right now.
But hey, it's all good. We can do it. We can do it next year.
Do it next summer. Anyway, we'll see you on the East Coast, Delta. We'll catch you on the West Side. We'll see you when movies, when movie theaters close up month.
We might have a new governor pretty soon, and we might be all be in the movies in a couple
months. Dude, say that. We're going to have a new governor. We don't say that positively. We say it very negatively. But hit me with the Top Gun soundtrack.
Hold on one sec.
It. Bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back.
Hit us with Highway to the Danger.
See you next time, Gavin Newsom. We'll see you next time, California. We've been the Black Series Rebels. Life is good. That was the summer. We're doing this shit again. Oh my God. Hey, Cisco, where can the people find you at home?
Twitter and Instagram, CiscoKidWith2D77.
Steve, where can the people find you at home?
Oh, they don't give a shit. Alex, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Alex_Backus. We'll see you next time on BSR. Later.
What's up, guys? I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with a little baby shit like that.